Do you ever think about the stable in Bethlehem? When it comes to picturing it, most of us tend to have an image that comes from the Christmas cribs of our childhood. We imagine a wooden lean-to or shed with straw upon the ground and a few beams holding up a thatched or poorly shingled roof. But if we go back to the earliest iconography of the event and even to the site of the Nativity in Bethlehem itself, what we find is not a shed or an outhouse, but a cave. It makes sense, of course. A cave provides far more shelter against the cold and the predation of wild animals. As a practical stable, a cave does just fine once it's dry. But the fathers and mothers of the church saw more deeply the significance of the Saviour being born into a cave, and maybe as we make our Advent journey it would be worth pausing with them to consider, to contemplate the question, why a cave? Well, firstly we remember that for our Saviour there was no room at the inn. We are so used to that statement that perhaps we forget its meaning. The love of God made visible is born in the flesh, and there is no room for him in our human world. He has barely entered the world, and he is refused. And yet he comes still, knowing that he will be rejected. Love enters and calls to us despite knowing our response. Indeed, because of our negative response, love calls to us all the more. There is no human room to receive him, but there is a cave, there is a space in the heart of Mother Earth, ready to receive her king. And how long has she been ready to welcome him? Well, how long does it take to make a cave? Isn't it worth thinking about the countless centuries it must have taken for perhaps one single drop of water to slowly hollow out the rock until the cave emerged as a space ready to receive the one who holds all things in being, that single drop dropping persistently over centuries, creating the space for a king. Perhaps the first teaching of the cave is to trust the providence of God. For God plays the long game, and often in the background of our lives the slow and silent drops of grace fall on what seems to be an unyielding surface, so persistently that space is made for love to be born. The cave teaches us to trust in the grace of God. Secondly, the cave is a wonderful place in which to contemplate the mercy of God. A cave, especially one filled with animals, was an unclean place to be born at that time, and yet this is where the Holy of Holies reveals his human face. And it is to a cave that his angels will gather the least and the lost from the hills around about to witness this explosion of divine love into our world. It is a clear statement of his mission, a gospel written in the silence of that first Christmas night. Our God bows so low that none will find themselves excluded from his grace and mercy. The cave teaches us to trust in the mercy of God. Thirdly, the cave is traditionally a place of prayer and encounter with God. From Moses hiding in the cleft of the rock to the prophet Elijah discerning the still small voice of God upon the wind, the cave is a place of shalom, a place of peace, the peace that comes from allowing divine love to reorder our lives so that we are living right relationship with God, with others, and with the cosmos. Caves are dark, and as we enter them in prayer, we lose sight of all the distractions until the inner light of God's presence becomes apparent to the eye of the soul. In the cave of Bethlehem, the light who enlightens all people is revealed by the shepherd's lanterns and the flickering of Joseph's fire. Perhaps it beckons us to carve out a cave in our own heart, a place of silence where we can wait upon the presence of the Lord. Fourthly, it's worth remembering in whose dwelling the Lord chose to be born. As Kenneth Graham famously reminded us, it was the animals who were the first to cry Noel. The ox, the ass, the sheep, these were not just furnishings, but represented their ancient order of being, receiving their divine King and Creator in silent adoration. Perhaps their presence in the cave is a reminder that redemption is a cosmic event that involves all of us. The old Irish legend that the animals speak the praises of God in our tongue at midnight on Christmas Eve is a wonderful reminder that every being has a gospel to preach to us if we would simply practice the art of contemplative listening. Finally, the cave may be seen not just as a place of birth, but as a place of foreshadowing of the second birth of the Lord, his resurrection. For twice the Son of God will lie in the heart of the earth, once in his birth, and then secondly in his death. A cave stable and a cave tomb bookend his earthly life among us, and both remind us of the new life he came to bring. Again, another legend tells us that the first cry of the Christ child was not at his birth, but at the touch of the manger boards to his back, in which he recognized and foresaw the touch of the wood of the cross. The first station of the cross, the nativity of the Lord. The cave teaches us to trust in the risen one, even as we experience the foreshadowing of our own mortality. This Advent, then, let us allow the Spirit of the Lord to carve out a cave from our busyness and stress. Let it be a space wherein we enter bowing low, taking time to listen to the stillness and silence at the heart of our being, to ponder in our hearts with Mary, and there invite her to bear the child in whose mercy and grace we trust.